Blog Talk Radio.
From deepest, darkest Africa, across the polar ice cap, spanning the jungles of South America, without a compass, without a map, Blog Talk Radio and Wildlife Educational Services presents Larry Batson's Wild World. Discover the wonders of the natural world with nationally known wildlife educator Larry Batson as we visit his wild world.
Well, hello everyone from the remote jungles of Clinton Falls, Indiana. This is Larry Batson. You are listening to Wild World on this magical network we call Blog Talk Radio as we say hello to our listeners around the world, Australia, New Zealand, Ireland, England, and the small community of Bainbridge, Indiana. Big hello to everybody tuning in. I want to thank Scott Carney for being so kind to help us with the music tonight as he takes off for the Honduras for his church to work with the people down there and do some good and hopefully bring me back two or three venomous snakes. We'll see how that goes, but we'll see. And as always, from the Wild World News desk in Indianapolis, Indiana, now HD, newly renovated, and with this beautiful knotty pine paneling, the Honorable Distinguished Dr. Henry Day. Good evening, Doctor.
Good evening, Mr. Batson. What's going on at the Batson Wildlife Preserve this evening?
What's going on? I'm going to tell you right now. You know, we've done this show, Dr. Day, for 4 years?
We have
close to 200 guests, 200 shows under our belt. Who knows how many guests? And I will have to say that tonight was one of the most, the timing was just perfect, or it wouldn't have happened. My wife, Cheryl, is going to be our guest tonight on Wild World. For all the school children out there that say she does not talk because during our program she doesn't say a word,
they're going
to find out different tonight. So we're looking forward to tonight's show, without a doubt.
They should be excited. Yeah, that should be fun for them.
Yeah, well, it'll be fun for all of us because she's had quite the illustrious career handling wild animals. We're going to hear some of the stories from the beginning and the end. Some of our new wild animal friends that we've just adopted, and we're having too much fun taking care of them and raising them to be ready for our animal programs next fall. And already the schools are calling. I'm so excited about next year. We're looking forward to educating and entertaining thousands across the state of Indiana as well as across North America. This part of Wild World is brought to you by TataquaLakeBigfoot.com. If you're a fan of the Discovery Channel or Animal Planet, such shows as Not Finding Bigfoot or Legend Meets Science or one of those other goofy Bigfoot shows, go to their website, TataquaLakeBigfoot.com. Let me spell that for you, folks, so sharpen your pencil. C-H-A-U-T-A-Q-U-A, LakeBigfoot.com. Over 6 hours of video available. Featuring yours truly, Bob Gimlin, Melissa Hovey, Billy Willard, Steve Calls, and the infamous Bob Gimlin. It's all available for just $4.99 on ChautauquaLakeBigfoot.com. They make it possible for Wild World to be on Blog Talk Radio.
It's now time from his broadcasting mecca in Indianapolis, Indiana, the distinguished Dr. Henry Day with the Wild World News.
Good evening. This is Dr. Henry Day with the Wild World News for Thursday, June the 12th. Well, it's 76 degrees in Naptown tonight, and did you know that Indianapolis used to be the former ball-bearing capital of the world?
I did not know that.
Well, there you go. Hey, let's cut the Wild World News out in Orange Beach, Alabama.
Okay.
Now, the city has dropped its shark warning and is letting people back into the water. Now, the fire department, yes, the fire department, said that the latest aerial observations show only a few sharks in the water near Pedito Pass.
Just don't they realize sharks get hungry?
So, go ahead and go back into the water, huh? Especially at night. At night would be the best time to get back out there.
Yeah, remember the movie Jaws?
Yes.
Yeah, feed them sharks, folks. Go ahead.
Get right back out there. All right, well, it looks like everything is big in Texas. Let's head off to Houston. Now, a pregnant pachyderm at the zoo needs to lose about 500 pounds as she seeks to deliver another healthy calf. Yes, 500 pounds.
How does she do that?
Tess, the Asian elephant, is going on a diet and will walk up to 2 miles a day.
Oh, Christ.
Yeah. Now, Tess weighs over 7,000 pounds, but she's only like 6% overweight.
You know, some zookeeper's going to lose a lot of weight.
Yeah.
2 miles every day without it. But that'd be fun, though.
Well, and hopefully she won't get tired of walking halfway through that. Well, anyway, she's 9 months pregnant, and with the normal elephant gestation is about 22 months.
It's a long time. God
love. Yeah, let's hope the best for Tess.
Yes.
Now, we've got a lot of listeners in Alaska. Now, here's a reminder. It's that time of the year when moose are being born, and the state biologist once again are reminding people not to touch the calves or try to take them home as pets. Yeah. Now, even if the animal seems to have been abandoned by their mothers, in most cases the mothers are nearby and will return to their young, and when they do, you don't want to be there.
Yeah, it's getting like getting charged by a Ford Galaxy, I mean.
Exactly, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's some good news from Salt Lake City, Utah. The Zion National Park said a new California condor chick is the first to hatch in the wild in Utah since the species was reintroduced in northern Arizona in 1996.
Cool.
Yeah, now the park news release was said that this is a sign that the endangered species is spending a lot more time in Utah.
We have pictures of that on our Facebook group page, Larry the Animal Guy and Friends. And it was taken by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, Dr. Day. And it is just awesome. I mean, to see that California condor and then the terrain that they've released these things in is absolutely magnificent. It's very cool, very cool.
Quite an impressive creature.
Yeah.
Can I say something?
Yes, you may.
I remember seeing Jim Fowler rappel down into a crevice to grab one of the last California condors and being gnawed on the whole time.
Oh, yes, I remember seeing that, too.
That is the voice of my dear wife, Sharon. I remember that, too. God love you for remembering. That was, now that's entertainment.
I mean, you could see the blood in everything. That's real wildlife.
Can you imagine now in HD how cool that would have been?
We could have counted the beak marks.
We could have counted the beak marks.
All right, let me do my impression.
Okay.
I'll hover here safely in the helicopter while Jim hangs precariously off the edge of the mountainside.
You know what I was thinking, Dr. Day? I wonder what Dave Davies would have said if he was watching that episode of Wild Wild.
That's got to be the craziest call I've ever seen, Larry. That's just plain stupid.
Okay. Thanks, Dave.
I was lucky enough to see Dave twice in concert.
Oh, that's true. And he's been a guest on our show.
Yeah.
I would have loved to see them in concert. I love the Kinks.
They're getting back together.
Can't I remember them?
They make me feel good.
They're getting back together.
I heard that.
Yeah, so I need to send Dave an email so he can be back on the show to help promote their concert series.
Wonderful.
Yeah, that's right.
Well,
and I just hope he's not mad at me.
He has a sense of humor. I hope.
Flattery.
Flattery.
Isn't that flattery when you do someone else?
Yeah, it is.
That's right, yeah. A pure
that's
form
flattery.
Of flattery.
Huh. You could never be angry.
All right, the Wild World News has taken us to Charlestown, Rhode Island. A seal was released into the wild in Rhode Island today after being nursed back to health at the Mystic Aquarium in Connecticut. Now, the male harp seal named Puck was taken to Blue Shutters Beach and was released this afternoon. He's doing fine. He gets the Good Housekeeping seal of approval.
That's fantastic.
Yep.
We love them baby animals.
That's saving wildlife. Now, you remember the song, Don't Fence Me In?
Yeah.
Well, this is kind of the opposite, and it is working out great. We're heading off to God's country, Aurora, Colorado.
That's right.
Yeah.
A new stretch of fencing designed to reduce deer accidents on E-470 in Denver's eastern suburbs is making a stark difference. Now,
cool.
Deer crashes have dropped more than half from 2012 to 2013 after
That's
the
great.
Installation of an 8-foot-high deer fence along a 5-mile stretch of the highway there.
Oh, that's all it is, just an 8-foot fence they've put up.
Eight-foot fence, yes,
it
with
is,
certain areas
like,
where they can cross the highway.
It's not like any technology where they let out laser beams or anything.
No, just an eight-foot fence. Simple fence.
God, we need an 8-foot fence on every highway in Indiana.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Good for Colorado.
You just pick the area with the biggest road bump and start putting up fences.
That's true. We need an 8-foot fence on our road. Wonder what keeps the squirrels off the road.
But then they wouldn't be able to get on our property and be safe.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, that's true.
You have to have an 8-foot round and 4-foot front.
Yeah, well, thank you, Mr. Pat.
How to open a gate.
Yeah.
That's true, too.
All right, we've got some red-eyed monsters appearing in Des Moines, Iowa. Yeah, the 17-year cicadas have been emerging in parts of Polk County and other Iowa woodlands have more than been loudly, they've been loudly searching for their mates. And you know what that's like.
Yes,
yeah.
We do. Cheryl, how many years ago was it that we were inundated with the red cicadas? Do you remember?
Oh, my goodness.
She has a photographic
memory. I remember the sound.
Oh.
I remember they looked like 22 holes in the ground, like 22 shots where they'd come out. Even the tigers around here looked annoyed at the sound. They were like, please stop. No more.
That's true. I remember that.
Interesting.
I think the baboon would eat them too, or would she? Would Dolly eat the?
I think she was offended by them too. I don't think she would even eat them. She was so offended by the noise.
Dr. Data, would you eat them?
Yeah, if I had to.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, well, Henry.
Just check.
Yeah, I went through jungle survival training in Panama, and we had a couple of banquet tables set up of the most disgusting things that you'd ever want to see, and you have to partake of each piece on the table. And yeah, it wasn't nice, but if I had to, I could eat it.
I would flunk that test.
I want video.
A million
times. I
want
video.
The worst was the rhinoceros beetles, you know, the giant beetles, their larvae.
Oh.
Yeah.
What color were they? Just for a listener to join us.
Just kind of a fleshy killer.
Oh, God.
Pulsating fleshy killer, yeah. All right, well, let's get back to the wild world news. It looks like research is expensive. Some southern Maine lobstermen are upset that a National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration research vessel is inadvertently cutting their fishing lines and traps.
Oh.
Yeah, are they doing it on purpose or not? I'm not sure, they estimate that the NOAA vessels have cost about $25,000 in damage, but saved a lot of lobsters.
God love them. You know, I had to take care of about 120 lobsters one time.
Yeah, and we didn't get to eat lobster anymore.
And you know, what got me was that when one would pass away, you know, I always considered the lobster to be a scavenger. But, oh, no, they would all walk up to it, you know, in that lobster way, and they would touch it with their two claws, and they would walk away from it. and they wouldn't scavenge it at all. And Cheryl's right. I couldn't eat lobster for years after that, after I took care of 120.
Well, that's a lot of butter.
Oh, no tail. No butter. What can I say? Yeah, I'm pretty.
What did you say?
I said, see how I'm treated? No butter, yeah. No tail,
no butter.
Nothing. We can't eat those anymore. They have a soul.
They have a soul. They do.
But they have a really tasty tail.
Yeah.
Yeah. Too bad it just doesn't grow right back like a lizard.
Yeah, that is too bad.
All right. Now, do you remember a few years ago we reported on the fact that the kids weren't getting out of the house anymore, playing the video games and on the computer and blah, blah, blah. They started making dirt pills because the kids weren't getting their enzymes.
Mm.
Right?
Mm. Yeah.
Well, now there's a new study that suggests that urban newborns who share their homes with cockroaches, mice, and cats might get the same kind of protection from allergies and asthma that farm children seem to get from the, you know, their animals that they have in their barns.
Wow.
Yeah, now they're not suggesting an open-door policy for mice and cockroaches or, you know, an end-of-house cleaning. But they're not suggesting that anyone without a cat just go out and get one. And they're saying that dogs don't have a whole hell of a lot to do with anything in the research, so.
Mm.
But I guess
you know what?
Are good.
I wonder what Dave Davies would think about that.
Larry, I don't know. With cockroaches here, they're not like the American cockroaches. They come out in the daylight, in the daytime, and just hang around. It's like part of the family.
Thanks. Thanks. It's always nice to have Mr. Davey's perspective.
You know, maybe we should start thinking about selling cockroaches.
Well, I hate to say this, Dr. Day, but I did used to sell the hissing cockroaches.
The big Madagascar hissing cockroaches.
Yes, in fact, I sold several to Air Personality Gary Todd, who was with a station in Indianapolis for close to 20 years, WIBC. He was buying them as a prank gift, and I think he was mad at me because I actually charged him for them. He thought I was going to give them to him. I never did talk to him again after I charged him $20 for 4 hissing cockroaches.
Well, that's a great price.
That's what I thought. But anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
All right. Well, we've been back and forth on this one for several years now, but apparently federal officials for the first time are recommending that young children and pregnant or breastfeeding women eat a minimum of 2 to 3 servings of fish a week.
Hmm.
They've been saying no, don't, and yes, and yes, and no, but they say eat fish. But just don't eat fish that's low in mercury, and just don't go out and buy fish that's high in mercury, you know. Yeah, let me have that high mercury fish over there.
Mm-hmm.
But now they're saying it's good, so eat more fish.
Well, we will.
All right, it's time for the local news. Now, this just really disturbs me. This upsets me.
Okay.
The Indianapolis Zoo is using an online ticket sales system that adjusts prices on the day's projected attendance. Now, the zoo officials expect that the change is going to boost revenue as well as keep peak day crowds to a manageable level. So basically what they're doing on these projected days, they're raising the prices to try to keep the crowds down.
Jesus. Well, that's the same. Go ahead, Gerald.
Is that stupid or is there something wrong with that?
Well,
seems quite right.
They're the same folks that when they built their penguin house, they pumped the air, the circulated air from the penguins into the place where the people stood. So they got the fresh aroma of fish and penguin dung.
Hello.
And they also put up a $50,000 display when they first opened, it was filled with parakeets.
Hello.
And then Jim Fowler, when he went there, he'll be so mad I said this. But he mm-hmm. says, they've got $1 million worth of plants, and they're all
annuals. Hello.
Then they've got this erector set that they've built for the orangutans.
Nuh-uh.
$26 million worth of tinker toys.
How about that? Can you not pretend it's a tree?
Yeah, that. And when I saw the view that they get to see, they get to look at downtown Indianapolis.
And a roller coaster going around it. I didn't say that. Did I say that?
Yes.
I think you did.
No, you didn't.
I'm so sorry, Not so sorry. I'm so sorry.
Now, do you remember many years ago, I believe you were doing an animal show. I believe it was Ohio. And you were going there for an armadillo race.
Yes.
Was a big thing. And I had a stuffed armadillo that I brought back from Juarez when I was stationed at the service in El Paso. And you used it for a promotional picture. It turned out really nice. It kind of made the stuffed armadillo look like it was moving.
Yeah.
And I noticed that the armadillo, I had broken one of his legs, and I'd taken a Band-Aid and put it around his leg. And then I'm looking at the promotional picture, and I see a Band-Aid. I see that Band-Aid that I put on that armadillo. And it was still really nice, but I for some reason that sticks in my mind. And I started that story to tell you about our next story.
Yeah.
Evansville, Indiana, wildlife experts who once scoffed at the reports of armadillos in the state said periodic sightings of the armored mammals common in the South are continuing. Yes, armadillos are showing up in Indiana.
Oh, great.
Now, unfortunately, most of the armadillo sightings have been in the form of roadkill.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah, but Purdue University wildlife specialist Brian McGowan said that most recent sightings was in October, just north of Terre Haute.
Really? Well, that's kind of cool. I mean,
yeah, I think it is too.
Yeah, I do too. Well, it's a natural migration. It's not like people brought them home from buying them at Walmart and let them go because they got too big. You know,
yeah.
It's a natural thing. So, come on.
I'm glad to have them here.
Yeah,
Band-Aid or not, we love them.
That's right.
And I'll dig up that photograph, Dr. Day. Do you have a copy of it?
No, I don't think I do. I would love to see it again.
It's in the
archive. You can find it. I probably will know where it's at.
I guarantee she'll find it.
All right. Now, this is not just another fish story. Researchers have named a newly discovered fish species in the honor of Indiana University Hoosiers and a world-renowned scientist who worked there. Now, they are introducing the Ambiopsis hoosieri, which is the Hoosier blind cavefish.
Oh, cool.
Brand new species found. Now, it's the first new cavefish species found in 40 years.
Who's your little who's it?
Yeah, now it lacks eyes, and listen to this, it has an anus right behind its head.
Oh!
Right. That's way too much information.
Help the females brood their young in their gills.
Could you repeat that last fact again that you've
come
up with?
It lacks eyes and has an anus right behind its head.
I thought I heard that correctly.
But anyway, it's a new exciting discovery.
Yeah,
I guess.
And it's been named the Ambiopsis hoosieri.
Well,
it's time for the Wild World Facts of the Day.
Hold on, I'm sitting down. Okay.
All right, are you ready, Cheryl?
Yes, I'm sitting down and waiting with bated breath.
All right, now the shark is the only fish that can blink both eyes.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, also, the tentacles of the giant Arctic jellyfish can reach 120 feet in length.
Oh, my Lord.
I've been stung by a jellyfish.
What happened? Did they have to pee on you?
My gracious, snakes alive. I'm glad that didn't happen back then.
That's the top remedy.
I understand that, but I was way too young. Thank the Lord, nobody knew about that then.
Yeah. Now, see, we always use Adolph's meat tenderizer.
Mm.
That takes the sting out, and you taste good.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, now, the next time you see a dragonfly, enjoy its beauty. Most dragonflies only have a lifespan of about 24 hours.
Really? Well, I didn't know that.
So enjoy its beauty.
24
now, tomorrow
hours.
Is Friday.
We have a
13th.
Friend that we call Donna the dragonfly. We do, don't we, Larry?
Yes, we do.
And is there a reason behind that? That you can
we were writing the book, the last book we did.
Alphabet Swamp.
Yes, oh, that's
sir.
Right.
And we were thinking about our friend Donna, who was a teacher. And Larry made me rhyme things. And Donna the Dragonfly was one of those. Plus, she's a beloved friend as well.
And while we're talking about that book, it is a great book for our listeners.
Yeah, it's available on LarryTheAnimalGuy.com for just $10, autographed to whomever you would like, just $10.
And
Larry made me rhyme Q. So check out our book.
Yeah. Oh, it's a must. Yeah. It really is.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
All right. Now, tomorrow night we have a full moon, and we always warn our listeners when there's a full moon there are more animal attacks during a full moon than any other time of the month.
You always have me so paranoid when you say that.
Now,
no,
yeah, well,
I wasn't until he said that.
Yeah.
Now, the last Friday the 13th we had with a full moon was October the 13th, 2000.
Oh,
the next
my.
Friday the 13th with a full moon will be August the 13th, 2049.
Oh,
the
my
next
gracious.
One?
The next one, yes.
Oh, my God.
So let's enjoy this one.
I will.
Before we close out the Wild World News, are you expecting anything special from your daughter, Elizabeth, on Father's Day?
Well, I'll probably lose some hair because she jerks it out every time she jumps up on my shoulders.
Well, you know.
She's just showing you love.
That's baboon love. I
baboon
don't
love.
Understand that. Yeah.
Well, that's the Wild World News for June the 12th.
Well, once again, a great job done by Dr. Henry Day and his staff at the Wild World News headquarters in Indianapolis, Indiana. Now HD, newly renovated, and with this beautiful knotty pine paneling, it's quite spectacular, and we appreciate his staff putting together Wild World News each week here on Wild World. We also want to remind everyone to check out our website, LarryTheAnimalGuy.com. It tells all about our wildlife rescue work that we do, also our wildlife education programs. And there's available Baxter the Educator. I think we might have one or two copies still available. But we have plenty of our latest book, written by Cheryl Batson, illustrated by yours truly, Alphabet Swamp. And those can be autographed to whomever you like. And also our wonderful Facebook page filled with videos and pictures and all kinds of great stuff about animals and the latest news on our activities with our animal family. And it is simply called Larry the Animal Guy and Friends. They make it possible for Wild World to be on Blog Talk Radio. of the best darn animal handlers in the whole country. I'm going to tell you that right now, folks. I'm a little partial, but it is the absolute truth. And we had to play a little Rolling Stones Monkey Man because that's what you wanted to hear. My lovely wife, Cheryl, joins us tonight from our animal compound right here in Clinton Falls, Indiana. What are you doing in there?
I am thinking how much money I'm going to owe you for being so kind and so many kudos, my friend and husband.
You know, there's about a million kids that are listening right now that are in shock because they always say, why doesn't your wife talk during the animal programs? And I tell them after the show, I said, if she talked during our animal show, it would be 2 hours long.
And, of course, our beloved friend, Dr. Day, always has said of me, a little of you goes a long way.
In a nice way.
And he says that's in a nice way.
Oh, my. Well, you know, we've talked about this a little bit.
For a moment?
Yeah, we spent a lot of time together. You know, people always say to us, a minute or two. How do you get along with your husband working with him all the time? And we say, well, we've never really thought about that much, but
I think some of my training came from cutting men's hair or hair cutting, period, for such a long amount of time. You know? That might have helped with the four-legged, as well as you say, the two-legged animals.
That's true.
I've always said, not very many, there's only a few people in your life that get as close to you as your barber, your doctor, your dentist, your wife, husband. And then there's, you know.
Yeah. Of course you were. I'm not saying you were a barber because you still are. But
that's right.
Doing it full time, you did it for, gosh, almost 20 years.
Easy.
Yeah.
Easy.
Okay. And then you were drafted to become part of the wildlife show, and I will state this for thousands that are listening
tonight.
I was
like a phoenix, phoenix trial by fire, how I came into the animal guy deal.
Yeah. Well, there would be no animal show if it wasn't for, there would be no animal guy, there would be no school programs if it wasn't for Cheryl. I'm here to state that tonight.
Now. Yeah, he wants something for me, doesn't he? He wants something. What's he want? All this kindness, the man has to want something. Isn't that true, Mr. Day, Dr. Day?
Yeah, there's something going on there, but let's see how far it goes.
Okay. I'm waiting. I'm patient. Crazy.
Well,
but patient.
Well, when you were drafted, and how many years has it been now? Because I'm sure you've got.
I've been in this business a million years.
And I can remember the first show that we did. It was at Columbia Elementary School in Logansport, Indiana. And would you tell the audience from around the world what I told you before we started our school program?
Yes, I can do that. Yeah. The one thing about LB, Larry, Uncle Larry Batson, is he doesn't rehearse. We didn't rehearse. He said, you're going to have to buy some animal guy clothes. So as I was dressed in our animal guy clothes, we pull up to the front of the school in this van filled with full-grown animals, a full-grown hamadryas baboon, a wonderful badger. We had a full-grown cougar, Gila monster, tarantula, and I don't know, I almost forget. Oh, but he says to me as we pull up to the school, he shuts the door. He says, Cheryl, I'm going to talk about the Gila monster's tail, and when I talk about that tail, you just go out there and you grab that badger. It's going to hiss and growl at you, but just bring that thing on in here anyway. And he shuts the door on me and goes into the school. And I turn around to these animals who are professional teachers, and I said, oh, my goodness, you guys got to help me out. And that was my rehearsal to this job, trial by fire.
That's pretty much how Dr. Day was brought into this radio broadcast.
Yeah. I know exactly what she's talking about, the Badgers.
Yes, he does.
Because one time
remember
he
when he
me,
said, Henry, remember when he took the Badgers on the 8th News? He told poor Eric Hollerson, if that Badger walks away, just pick it up and put it back over here. It'll hiss and growl at you, but just grab it anyway. Now, how easy is grabbing it anyway?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, he told me one day there were two Badgers out there, and he said, go out and grab the Badger and load him up. And I'm like, I can't tell them apart. I can't tell which is the nice one. And he said, well, as soon as you grab one, you'll know if it's a nice one or not.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Yes. Because remember what their names were? Leon and Russell.
Oh.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
That's Larry. Old school rock star.
Yeah. But they were fantastic animals. In fact, I can remember taking them on a Johnny Carson show. And they did so well. I mean, they just and Cheryl and I would love to find a couple more Badgers.
Absolutely.
We had them in our collection for, gosh, almost 20 years, and they, of course, moved on to the great animal heaven in the sky. But we'd like to take on a couple more. That'd be a wonderful experience.
They were amazing teachers, you know?
Yes. And they were so smart, you know.
Sometimes Leon, when we would use him, there was a point when Larry would say that Badger would turn around and look straight at you. And I'm not kidding you, but good old Leon, when Larry said that, would turn to the kids and look straight at them. And they say they don't know, dumb animals. I say, nuh-uh. You know? I only can say, nuh-uh. He knew. They know. They would do. We never trained. We don't stress train. We just do it. We bring them out and say, look what this is about. And they teach us. They teach us how to handle them, how to work with them in situations.
Oh, we lost her. Something happened.
Am I back?
You're back.
We got you.
We lost you for a moment. Are you still there? Oh, we lost her entirely. Pick up the main line. Are you still there, Dr. Day?
Yep, I'm still here.
Okay.
So it's not the Taliban.
Okay, I'm back. I'm sorry.
No, that's all right.
We live in the boondocks, you know.
We do.
If you walk in the wrong spot or move your mouth the wrong way, things don't work out here.
They don't.
And that's why we love it so much.
Well, you know, that's why. In fact, right now, the main light that the REMC, or what they call a security light, is out.
Yeah.
And we have been in no hurry to have them fix it.
We like the dark.
We do enjoy the dark. And I'm going to tell you right now, Dr. Day, when the sun goes down out here,
it goes down.
It is beyond dark. My God.
It's a good thing.
But Cheryl's done a... Now, we want to talk about the new animals.
Oh, we love new animals. I love new animals. You know me. Like my mother would say, no scent, no feeling.
Well, I have to tell you, this is the youngest story we have of Cheryl being an animal handler.
Uh-oh.
What did your mother say about the stray cats in the neighborhood?
She said, don't bother with, don't touch them, don't pick them up, leave them alone. Anyway.
So what did the young Cheryl Queen then do?
It got scratched up by the kitty and fibbed to mom about where it came from. Oops. That's not what you're supposed to do. Oh, I scratched myself on something else. Rosebush. I don't know. Fence. No kitties were involved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we went to the Columbia Park Zoo, Dr. Day, and we picked up a couple of ringtail lemurs that had never been handled. And we were rather wary of them because they have sharp little teeth that can basically shred leaves. But we put them, we had this room we had them in, and Cheryl went in there, and within 10 minutes had them both hooked up on leads and collars. And I said, that woman is an animal handler.
No, I'm just too stupid to know any better.
And then we're doing a show. Are you there, Dr. Day?
Yep.
We were doing a show in Noblesville, Indiana. In fact, we're going to do that show again here in a couple weeks.
Good.
Or next week, excuse me.
Thank you very much.
And one of the lemurs decided to bite Cheryl in the side of the face.
Yes, I love that part of my life. Hello.
And I kept saying, hon, you're bleeding.
He would point to my neck and say, there's blood running down your neck. And I'm standing in front of the whole audience, and there's not a lot you can do while you have a lemur on your shoulders about the blood that's dripping down your neck. And the nice thing was, is the great gal that was from the park and worked for the park services, she came over and gave me a 4x4. Do you know what that means? A gauze 4-inch by 4-inch. So I could, like, put something on there so the children would have been offended by the fact that I was bleeding while the lemur teacher was visiting with them.
So for some reason, Dr. Day, she's a little wary of the lemurs now. I don't understand why.
I have raised 7 tigers, and I have been abused more by the lemur than each tiger that we have raised. As Henry well knows, I've put a lion on a lead, and I am still mortified when I have to deal with a scary ring-tailed lemur. They'll bite your face right off your head.
Yeah, that would be scary.
And then I've always said that you look at their faces and you don't see anything look back.
That's good, isn't it? Isn't that a nice comforting thing when the man says, go get that and bring it into 500 children in a school? Hello.
But she does it every time. So.
My mom, no sense, no feeling.
Well,
yes.
Well, we're going to take a short break. Gosh, what a great show so far, Dr. Day.
Yes, we knew it was going to be fun now, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
And we have so much love to talk about.
We're going to take a short break. We'll be back with my lovely wife, Cheryl. You're listening to Wild World on Blog Talk Radio.
Stay tuned. We'll be back with more of Larry Batson's Wild World here on Blog Talk Radio.
This week's episode, Bobcat in the Cave.
Gosh, Johnny, playing in the cave sure is neat.
Oh, boy, a kitty cat.
Sassy, the kitty cat's yelling.
What, Sassy? It's not a kitty? It's a bobcat? Speaking of cats, you like to stress the importance of adopting cats from animal shelters? Over 5 million cats go into animal shelters every year? And with millions of healthy cats to choose from, it's a shame more people don't adopt from shelters.
It's Bobcat, Abby. Help, Sassy!
Why bother? We'll just get into more trouble tomorrow?
What's that supposed to mean?
Oh, nuts.
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt.
Here's a hot topic about our wildlands and living with the natural role of fire.
Yard work is not just a matter of pride when you live in the wildland-urban interface. It's also about survival. Here are some FireWise tips that can help protect your home from wildland fire. Prune your trees 6 to 10 feet above the ground. Remove dead leaves and branches and dispose of them before fire season. Water your lawn regularly and store firewood away from the house. Be prepared for a fire emergency by having a plan for your family and pets. Learn more at our website, and then sit back and enjoy. You worked for it.
This hot topic was made possible by the Teresa and H. John Hines III Foundation. Learn more about the natural role of fire, how to protect your community, and get the latest fire information. Visit the National Interagency Fire Center website at NIFC.gov. That's NIFC.gov.
We're Rascal Flatts. There's a place where ordinary people do extraordinary things every day. That place is called the American Red Cross. When you help the American Red Cross, you help America. Call 1-800-RED-CROSS or visit redcross.org to learn more.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting.
Location?
In the forest, near the side of the road.
No need for alarm, sir. The forest is where bears live.
But this was no ordinary bear.
No ordinary bear?
Yeah, one second I'm having a smoke taken in the view. Next thing I know, I am face to face with Smokey Bear.
Let me guess, Smokey had a tip for you.
He did. He must have seen me toss my cigarette on the ground. He told me never to do that because it only takes one spark to start a wildfire.
He's a smart bear. Did you know that 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans? That means 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
That's what Smokey said. I had no idea.
That's why Smokey's famous, and you're not.
Good point.
Get your Smokey on. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference, because 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Welcome back to Larry Batson's Wild World here on Blog Talk Radio. Once again, here's your host, Larry Batson.
I want to remind everyone, be sure you check out our website, LarryTheAnimalGuy.com. It tells all about our wildlife rescue work that we do, also our wildlife education programs, and our wonderful Facebook page, Larry the Animal Guy and Friends, filled with videos and pictures and lots of stuff about our animal family, available now on Facebook. Be sure you go into our archives and check out all of our past shows. We've had some great rock and roll shows featuring such artists as Dave Davies, Al Jardine, Tony Kaye from the group Yes, Chris France from Talking Heads, Jimmy Greenspoon from Three Dog Night. It goes on and on and on. Lots of great artists, lots of great stuff coming up next week with Kiki Epson, daughter of Buddy Epson. She'll be premiering her brand new CD available right here on Wild World on Broadway. This part of Wild World is brought to you by McGregor Mountain Lodge in beautiful Estes Park, Colorado. If you've never had the opportunity to head west, you owe it to yourself to do so. And what a great place to stay, right on the boundaries of Rocky Mountain National Park. It's all there for you, folks. I'll tell you, it's an absolutely spiritual experience. It's phenomenal, and you need to do that. Go to their website, McGregorMountainLodge.com. They have a beautiful webcam that you can see. Beautiful Estes Park and the Rocky Mountains. You'll have wildlife in your backyard. I can still remember walking to our cabin one night and thinking, my gosh, that's a really authentic-looking ceramic deer. And about that time, that ceramic deer raised its head. It's all available at McGregorMountainLodge.com. Go to their website, www.McGregorMountainLodge.com. Guest tonight, from right here at the Wildlife Compound, one of our favorite songs we had to feature tonight, the Rolling Stones' Monkey Man. My wife, Cheryl, has been so kind to be on the show. I've bugged her about it for years, Dr. Day. She doesn't realize the joy we get every Thursday night putting together this, whatever you want to call it.
It's a lot of fun, and we have a lot of interesting guests, as we do tonight.
Oh, we've got a phenomenal guest tonight. It's just been great, absolutely great.
So what do you guys want me to cut your grass, give you a haircut? What's all this kudos about now? Don't pretend with me. You know I know.
Oh, I could probably use a little trim now that I'm thinking about it.
See how they are, see?
Yeah. Yep.
Absolutely.
But tell all of our listeners, because I know they want to hear about our brand new additions to our animal family.
How about that?
Their names and how they're doing and all that great stuff.
We have an animal that I think that, I don't know, Mother Nature had a really good time putting together, the cavy. She's like, okay, I'm going to put a little kangaroo. How about some rabbit? Maybe just to the head of a burrow, you know? Stir it all up, and we're going to call that a KV. And it makes noises. Oh, by the way, it makes noises like a guinea pig.
It does.
It's amazing. And she cannot get enough of Larry, so she walks on a lead anywhere he wants her to go, making little noises. Squeak, 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 squeak. It's amazing. And she is like a tiger. Each time you go in to feed her, she looks like she's grown. Every time,
yep.
Doesn't she, Larry?
Yep.
She's so cool.
Second largest rodent in the world, grows to almost 45 pounds, Dr. Day. Of course,
I'm pretty excited to see it.
Oh.
And she's so cute. Her name's Grace.
I just love her to death.
I know.
And she comes up and nibbles on your pants.
It's kind of creepy if you think about her teeth.
Well, they're almost rabbit-like, aren't they, Cheryl?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have, named after the honorable and distinguished Dr. Day.
In homage.
Yes. Henry.
Henry.
Yeah.
Henry the
Father. I'm not worthy.
You will see that he resembles you, so what can he say?
So that's it.
He'll go, when he talks to you. Of course, your voice is a lot lower, but the posture is the same when he's doing that noise.
And tell our listeners what color he is.
White. White with a gray saddle. I'm not kidding you. He's got the tip of his tail has a heart-shaped black spot. But, of course, his eyebrows and around the top of his ears are red like his dad was. But mom was white, so you know women always went out on the white color. His basic color is white. We like that.
He's so cool.
Henry.
And our listeners can see it on your website?
Yes. Well, no, he's on Animal Guy.
Well, he is also on the website with Katie. We'll have to put him on there.
Yeah. But he's on the Facebook page, Larry the Animal Guy and Friends.
But we'll move it to the website. Too.
Yeah, we did a party. A graduation party last Saturday, and we took him along. And he attended. And they took several photographs, which is very nice of them. That was
because the cuteness level is through the roof. No kidding.
It was. We told I'm sorry, Dr. Day, go ahead.
I just said thank you.
Absolutely, my friend, our friend.
We warned people that when these baby animals came out that there might be spontaneous combustion among the audience.
Oh, absolutely.
Because of the cuteness.
But they'll bite you.
They will
bite you.
And then we have our
not so cute then.
Yeah, then they're not quite so. But we have our new addition, Rudy.
Rudy.
One of Cheryl's favorite animals and sometimes the most difficult wild animal to handle.
Sent me to the hospital twice.
Yeah. And Henry is somewhat familiar with them because of his experiences in Panama.
He loves them as well.
The Coati Mundi.
The Coatis, yes. Strange characters.
I enjoy their character, don't you?
Yes.
But he's a mountain, and before we had white nose. Right, Larry?
Yeah, we did.
And they were girls, and the girls are a little bit less gregarious. Is that the word we should say?
They don't have any patience at all.
Not a second's worth. Absolutely.
If you scolded one, you had to fight both of them.
Yes, Larry, and no one wants to fight in this home.
No.
No, we'll lose.
And they loved Cheryl, and they put up with me.
Well, as long as there was snacks involved, they enjoyed you.
Well, when we did school programs, and it was the weirdest thing, Dr. Day, we would just go, and they had a regular routine that they'd do. They'd crawl on my shoulders, and they'd grab marshmallows out of my pocket of my Animal Guy vest.
Absolutely.
And then we didn't use them for a year, and then we went back to use them the following year, and they remembered the routine perfectly.
Because that's what they taught us.
Yeah, you're right.
That's right, yeah.
And it was the strangest thing. And this little guy, oh, my God.
He's so gregarious.
He's got so much personality.
Oh, my gracious, snakes alive.
He is going to be just phenomenal. What kind of Coati Mundis did they have in Panama, Dr. Day? Do you remember?
Not exactly. Just the Central American Coatis.
What color were they?
Pretty much raccoon color.
Like brownish or gray or blackish gray?
Brownish.
Were their rings on their tail distinctive? Or
pretty distinctive.
Then that's probably the mountain. And they're fun, aren't they?
Oh, yeah.
We'll tell your story. I love it.
I just used to whistle, and my coati would run right up the back of my legs up to my shoulder.
Yeah, that's always fun.
And then give me a little nuzzle on the face, and then he'd be off all that. Enough attention there. I've got to go somewhere else.
I'm busy. They're busy, aren't they?
And this was a wild jungle coati Monday, correct?
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah, see,
they were pretty much like raccoons. Wherever there was a trash can or anything they could get into, that's where they were.
Yeah. See, that's what makes Dr. Dane into an animal guy, too, because not many folks would mention, and they shouldn't, not unless they're highly trained like my wife Cheryl or myself or Dr. Dane. Should mess with wild.
Trained. That's so funny. When my father was sick in the hospital, I was talking to one of the ICU nurses because they were there quite a bit, and so was I. And we talked about ketosis and certain things that you use with animals, antibiotics to the snakes, liquids to the snakes. She finally came unto me at 3 in the morning probably and said, "Where do you learn this?" And I'm, you know, me, I don't know, whatever the veterinarian teaches me. It's all learned by doing it. And I could only say that to her, and she looked at me. Of course, you know, everyone goes for school. I am schooled to be this. I was schooled to be a barber. And if you ask me if I thought I would ever be putting fluids in a snake, I would have said, not gonna happen, never, no. And now I actually know about putting fluids into a snake. It's different.
Well, and two, part of that story, I was out of town, and our vet had come into the compound and was working with Cheryl. And what did the vet tell you?
We were sitting in our living room, and I was having to hold what they call a speculum that holds the snake's mouth open while the vet was trying to get some cultures, say, out of its throat. About the time that he stuck the little, I don't know, fancy Q-tip down its throat, and it threw up on both of us, I turned to him and I said, "Larry owes us." And he stepped back for a moment, and he said to me, he said, "You know, Larry is the reason that I am a vet. I saw him with Doc, our Celebes ape, when I was in high school, and it made me realize that's what I want to do." So he said, "I've never told Larry that, but, you know, now I'm sitting in his living room getting puked on by his snake."
You're welcome, Dr. Voley.
Yes, Dr. Voley.
What an honor.
I don't know about that. I myself don't feel honored by the vomit of a snake, don't you know?
And, you know, Cheryl doesn't have a great...
No. Snakes give me the heebie-jeebies, all in capital letters, don't you know?
When we first started seeing each other, Dr. Day, she had this wonderful... Remember the Toyota Land Cruiser?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And she had this wonderful dog, Casey Jones.
Yeah.
And we were down in southern Indiana, and we were...
He took my dog snake hunting. How about that?
I did.
In my truck. What about that?
The dog was good. I mean, it would find him. I mean, it was a fantastic tool. So it was. I don't know, about dusk, and we're driving. And I said to her, "You know, I'd like to go back there and check out this spot where I go."
Oh, you're talking about time when I went with you.
Yeah.
That's not funny.
And she said, "Well, yeah, let's
okay.
go."
Duh. I'm dumber than I look, I guess.
So
here I go.
So we're walking back there, and like, you know, Cheryl is, 4 inches taller than the last munchkin that passed away.
You know, I've got stuff I could feed you to. Easy, smarty pants.
Well, let's put it this way.
I'm short.
The growth was taller than Cheryl.
Yeah.
So we're going back through this field of growth that's 5 or 6 foot tall.
And I'm thinking to myself, nuh-uh.
Well, what did I say I was going to do? So we come to this 4x8 sheet of plywood that was laying on the ground. We're standing on it. And what did you think at that moment?
Well, actually, I thought, oh, my goodness, thank goodness I'm out of the weeds. And then I look over, and there Larry is with this piece of tin or plywood, I'm not exactly, I can't remember exactly, in one hand. He has his foot on a snake that's trying to bite him with the other hand. No, wait a minute, on his foot. And then the other hand, he had another snake with his snake hook held, right?
Yeah.
No movement. And he looks at me like, and I look at him.
What type of snakes were these, Cheryl?
Copperheads, thank you very much. Copperhead.
Two of the largest I've ever seen.
And he's like looking at me like, oh, you have to help me. And I look at him. He has the bag he wants me to get in out of his pocket, in his pocket. I said, not going to happen.
No, that's not what you said.
Well.
But we're not going to say what you said.
Yeah. I said a few things that you don't say in anywhere else except for when a man looks at you wanting you to pick up a copperhead. So then, okay, so he didn't get those two. So a serious guilt trip comes upon me. And the next time he picks up a piece of plywood, tin, there was another one of those copperheads. So I say, okay, I have to get over myself. I have to do this for him. So he gets the darn thing. He hands me the bag, and he looks at me in the face, and he says, don't drop the bag. Great. Yippee. So I'm holding this bag. By the time he drops that copperhead, he took it so quickly from me, I had no idea the bag was copperhead full, tied into a knot, and will you carry this now? Now, I'm looking down at this copperhead in this bag, biting through the bag. Will you carry this for me? I find a stick. I put the copperhead that's biting through the bag on the end of the stick, and I'm walking through the woods thinking, what the heck have I got myself into? You know?
That's why.
And he's still looking for more. Oh, you know, and I, you know, the guilt of the fact that he lost a mating pair when I saw one hand's on a board, one foot's on a biting copperhead, and the bag's in my pocket. I got him one.
Yep, you did. I have to commend you. You held that bag steady.
Yeah, as far away from me as I could get it.
Then,
don't you know?
And then we captured that one. It was. We would have caught the other two, except the weeds were so tall that once I let go of one, it was gone, and then the other one was gone.
Yeah, I don't really, oh my goodness gracious, snakes alive.
I have to say, Dr. Day, I was so proud of her when she held that bag.
I didn't hold it for a second because he had it. Boom, boom, it's done. Case closed, hold it with a stick.
Yeah, well, your first encounter with a poisonous snake can be very alarming.
Yeah, well, why would you pick one up anyway?
It's just something about it.
Most men go hunting to kill something. Larry wants to bring it back alive. And it can bite you and ruin your whole day. And all these other guys are like, I've got a deer. This man, I've got a copperhead.
Well, I know. Copperheads are beautiful snakes, really pretty snakes.
Yeah, well, you would say that.
Well, you know the old story. We were down in, I had a friend who was a science teacher, lived in Cincinnati, and I used to go over and see him every once in a while and get snakes from him. And what he would do is he'd go down just south of Ohio on into West Virginia, and he had people that lived back in the hills that would actually collect snakes. And he would buy them from them. Well, I went down there with him on one of those trips, and we stopped at this one house, and this man, Dr. Day, Cheryl, had a 55-gallon drum half filled with copperheads. And apparently what they had done is they'd taken their old car out with a log chain, and they'd jerked these rocks over that no man could ever move without the help of an automobile. And they found these huge dens of copperheads. So I asked him, I said, man, he says, you've got a couple 300 copperheads in here. What are you going to do with all these? He says, well, he says, the belt leather guys are coming through in about a week, and that's where they're going.
Oh.
So I asked him, I said, well, what would you sell them for? He said, I'd sell them for 25 cents a piece. I said, let's start bagging. And I don't know how many I brought home. It was a lot.
Yeah.
And some of them I released in disclose locations, but I made the mistake of mentioning that to a conservation officer, and they got all upset about that. But all I was doing is replenishing some of the spots that I'd caught copperheads in the past and brought into captivity, so I didn't think it was any no harm, no foul, but they thought it was.
Well, duh.
Yeah.
But that's okay, because, you know, it's they're not belts now.
Well, they weren't.
Yeah.
It was pretty disgusting to think that all these snakes or animals, I should say, that were going to be used for, and at 25 cents a piece, their souls are worth more than that.
But still, think how many it takes to cover some big old giant dude.
Some big fat guy that wants a copperhead belt or a hat band.
That science teacher, is that the same guy that we went to Cincinnati, he had some poisonous snakes get loose in the basement. He had all these cages stacked with poisonous snakes.
It could have been. He also had quite a collection of alligators and crocodiles in his basement.
I think that's the same guy.
In fact, he had a Cuban crocodile. Anyone that knows anything about crocodiles, Cuban crocodiles will literally chase you down and eat you. They're more aggressive even than the Nile crocodiles, and he had one. And I asked him, I said, how in the world do you take care of that? He says, well, I keep a 4-by-8 sheet of plywood between me and that crocodile because it'll chase me around this basement while I'm changing its water. And it was 5 or 6 foot tall, or long, excuse me. But what had happened is he had a black rat snake lay eggs, and one of the eggs that hatched, the snake was an albino. And he literally traded that albino black rat snake to the Cincinnati Zoo for about half of their crocodilian collection. So he had, you name it, he had gavials and gharials and Nile crocs and alligators and, my Lord, it was quite, and he had that Cuban crocodile that would literally just chase you down and eat you. And then we, do you remember the story, Dr. Day, of the fellow we had on, Bill Yake from Washington, who went to the Sulawesi Island to do research on the Malaho bird.
Right.
What?
And he talked about the family that had a crocodile that they thought was related to their daughter, who's now gone off to college in Jakarta, Indonesia. And they kept the crocodile in this room in the house and with a cistern that they changed every day, and every night it would go into the bed. And they'd cover it up, and that's where it would sleep, and during the day it would play with the children. And I was thinking, in Sulawesi, that would be saltwater crocodiles, and they literally do eat people.
Yeah.
So, you know, truth is much stranger than fiction any day of the week.
A quote from Jim Morrison, people are strange.
They are. And most of them have been on this show one time or the other.
That makes them more important when they're strange.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Absolutely.
So of all the critters that we've raised, now I know you don't have a favorite.
It's like children.
They're like children, but, you know, Dolly, our hamadryas baboon, was very special.
Yes.
But this Elizabeth the baboon, she's an Ollie baboon.
She owns us.
She does.
And she knows it.
She absolutely does.
She's the boss, the head of the deal.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They tell you, don't work with anything smarter than you. Well, Larry and I are seriously doomed. Because everything we work with is way smarter than us.
Well, what's funny is when she goes around the new babies.
She's so funny.
Yeah. Go ahead.
She walks up to the coati and she wants it to, like, nurse it. She walks over to the white baby white fox's kennel, and she'll slowly, because, you know, you have to deal with him because he's a nocturnal dude. So there's a blanket involved to cover him so he isn't bothered. But she'll get up and she'll go up to him and lift up that cover and look and see where he is, and then she'll present her bumbadum. She wants to mother the coati. She wants to date the fox. But she's not quite sure exactly what to do with that cavy. Why are its eyes on different sides of its head, she thinks. I believe that's what she thinks.
Oh, that's
and then once that's done, then she's ready for a tasty morning morsel. or her evening morsel. Other than that, she's good to go.
Well, tell the audience. I'm sure they would love to hear it. It's Elizabeth the Ollie Baboon's daily routine.
Well, she'll, the dogs always are our morning routine in the beginning. The wolf dogs can't go out the 8-foot fence because people would kill them. So, but our puppy dog is a real dog, St. Bernard / Lab. He gets to go out on the property and run and do his thing. So in the morning, we do that deal. And then if you wake Elizabeth, she's a late sleeper, which is a good thing. She expects you to turn her television on to the Sprout channel so she can watch Chica sing the happy birthday song to children through who knows where. Then if you're not moving quick enough in the morning, you may get one cup of coffee in, maybe. Then she'll start screaming at you to fix her breakfast and get her outside or to the outside inside facility. So you're basically, your whole life is ruled by a, what people would say is lesser, but she's our boss, a baboon.
Yeah, and if I get up at 6:30 or 7 to go take care of a Mother Nature trip, I try and walk as quietly as possible because if I wake her up, she's going to want a bottle of milk.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never succeeded in getting back in bed quiet enough to not wake her up.
To have her morning taste.
And the noise she makes is kind of...
Yeah. It's hard to ignore.
Yeah, you don't. Because if you decide, oh, I'm just not going to get up...
And she'll
just,
get louder.
It gets louder.
And, of course, I'm the mean mommy. And Larry's like the good mommy. So she knows that she can make him do whatever she wants done. But she knows that I'm like, ain't going to happen. You better get your drink this evening. And you better get your drink when I give it to you in the morning. Because she knows, you know, us girls, you know.
Yeah.
But what can I say?
Well, when she was a baby, she'd have her bottle of milk, and I'd get up in the middle of the night. That's when
A couple times.
And I'd get her out, and I'd sit her on my lap, you know, the cute little baby baboon. And I'd give her a bottle of milk, and all of a sudden I'd be sitting there in my pajamas, and I'd feel this warmth. I go into my lap, realizing that I've just been urinated on by the little cute baby baboon. So Cheryl can hear me go, I change my pajamas and go back to bed. And maybe she might get up again during the night, and I'd do the same routine. So I had to go out of town on someplace. And I get back here, and Cheryl tells me, what did you tell me?
You said, oh, I have to get Elizabeth out. I have to get her out of the facility, you know, where she was hanging. And I said, really, why? And so I took the bottle, and I stuck it in there to her facility, and she started sucking that bottle just as easy as anybody ever would. And he was so angry because for over maybe a year and a half, he was getting beat on all the time, and all you had to do was just hand it to her in her kennel. So she'd drink it. He was pretty angry because he's like, I can't believe you did that. And I got beat on. I mean, the poor guy had to change his pajamas every night for at least 2 years.
2 years.
Yeah. But it's like, it's not my fault. You're dumber than what you're working with, right? You know, she'll take it. She'll take it just like she would her water bottle, you know. And I'm the type that you better get it now, girlfriend, or it ain't going to happen. You know? I mean... You know,
2 years.
I don't sleep that well anyway, and if I do 4 hours, you better believe I'm not getting up. You're getting milk and peeing on me. Not going to happen. So we did fine. She took her milk. You know, we're friends.
Well, there were some funny stories when she was growing up about her and the remote and the TV knobs.
Oh, well, there are certain things she likes and dislikes on the television. She loved, she will tell you, there'd be times that Larry would walk into where she was in the bedroom, we'd keep her in the evenings. Inside, you know, because she was on the bottle. And she would see, he'd want to watch football or say a sports thing. Then he'd walk out of the room and she would start screaming, She doesn't like it that he left her with his football on. That's not what she wanted to watch. Her Sprout channel is her favorite. And you can put it on that and she's fine. Every once in a while she may watch a soap opera for a minute. If Larry were to do television or something and she heard his voice, she'd want to watch that. But other than, like even... what's the guy's name? Darius from Hootie the Blowfish.
She hated him.
She hates him. She gets so angry at him. It's funny. She'll at him, and it's like, what's the deal?
And give him the big eye.
Yeah, throw those big eyes up like she's going to, oh, buddy.
And the Lipitor guy.
Yes, I don't know why she didn't like the Heart guy.
She hated him.
She chose people.
Oh, I hate him, too.
Oh, see? You have some primal instincts, my friend.
She hated that guy. It was so funny. She would completely come unglued. She'd bristle up and her.
Oh, her fur get all, yeah.
She'd get the big eye. We call it the big eye when they just look at you.
She'd bounce at him like, I'll get you. I'll show you.
They don't blink or anything. No. It's just like.
It's ridiculous.
And then I was watching a movie one night where a guy walks up to the camera just stare. Oh, my God.
Well, you can't give a baboon you're not supposed to look him straight in the eye because that's a threat. And, of course, you know, Larry, he's always gone completely on the opposite side, so he always gives him straight eye threats. I tend to do it, too, look her in the eye, because we're humans. You're supposed to look people in the eye, right? But not baboons, not primates. You shouldn't because it's a, I'll kick your, and if you lift your eyebrows, like, I'll get you. Well, let me tell you what, a primate will get you. Larry has this amazing friend of ours who we've come to love through the millions of years of knowing him. And he once told me, I'd work with your old man. He said, but I don't want to work with those primates. Now, this is a guy who kissed cobras and wrestled alligators. And he said, I don't want to work with those primates. A monkey will bite your face off. And there's been times that even when I was working with Dolly, because she was full grown, 20-some years old, that I'd be holding her before we went into a gymnasium and think, yeah, a monkey will bite your face off. But, you know, it's just, no, as my mom would say again, no sense, no feeling. I haven't got the sense to know any better, I guess.
No, she's just damn good at her job. Excellent.
Well, I have to say one thing about this job. One of the coolest things that I get to see is sometimes I'll bring an animal in, Larry will introduce us, and we walk in, and I get to see that one child or maybe two or more get so excited that they just have to stand up or they have to just make a motion and get excited because they're so, you know, just in the moment of seeing this animal, of seeing this part of nature, you know, that is instilled, in my opinion, in young children before we even realize it, you know? But, you know, that's one thing that always amazes me. Of course, at first, when I first helped Larry, I couldn't even look at the audience. I had that stage fright thing when they told you in speech class, just look over the top of them and this and that. And then I helped him and we worked at an amusement park, you know. And sometimes the first row didn't, as Dolly Parton would say, didn't have a full set of teeth. So you had to get really used to, oh my goodness, I got a cougar like that in my trailer. You think it'll be all right? And we're going, oh my goodness, what do we do? Right?
Oh, Lord.
It's an interesting thing to do for a living. Well, you know, we feed the animals.
They let us live here.
Yes,
this is what it's all about.
Yes, this is their place.
Yeah.
We just happen to be their what does the Sting song say? When you find your servant is your master.
Isn't that true?
That would be us, wouldn't it?
Well, pretty much. But yeah. I don't think, you know, even the days that it's not been a good day for one reason or the other. You know, and in the summertime when things are kind of slow, we haven't done a school in weeks and weeks.
And you think, why are we doing this?
Yeah. Oh, my Lord. Yeah. But that first school we go to and we
that
walk
first in, kid that just, or that first teacher that you see that she laughs where we're supposed to say something older, or you know what I mean?
Mm.
Or they just when they get it, it's like it's theirs. You know, we're borrowing our earth. It's their earth. You know, what are we doing to their earth? What are you when you look at your grandchildren or your great grandchildren? Come on, you know, it means something. I have heard there is a noise that the audience makes. I leave the room, but whenever we bring out that big snake, there is a noise that they make that I swear has to be make heaven happy because of the sound, you know, because, oh, my goodness, or, you know, screaming in fear or whatever, you know. But by the end of the five, maybe 5 minutes that Larry has it out, we've won them over, to appreciate that big old ugly scary snake, you know? And that's what it's all about. That's what all the going without, no having, we don't have vacations a lot because our babysitters are different breed.
Yeah, that's the truth.
Yeah, but that's what it's about, you know?
I don't know what else we would do. Well, you would cut hair. I think I'd just be sunk.
Oh, you drive me crazy anyway. I'd have to just, I don't know what I'd do. I'd have to send you to Kenny's house. Dr. Day. You'd have to work for Dr. Day.
Yeah. Be part of his staff.
Yes.
Yeah, that would be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we could give it a shot. I'm not sure, though.
See? Yes, I understand.
Well, I have to say that tonight has been just a joy for myself. Having the opportunity to share with our audience around the world, my wife and why I think so much of her, and she does this job that's a lot of work, folks, and you have to be devoted to it. I mean, we're still
work.
Yeah. And even after this live broadcast tonight, and it's 11:23 our time, we're still not done for the day. We still got some, and I think we've even forgotten about dinner.
Oh, dinner.
Yeah, we've got.
We know my mother would say, I have enough on my thighs to take care of a month's work, to live off the fat of the land.
But, Dr. Day, what a great show tonight.
Yes, it was a great show. I'm glad Cher joined us tonight. It's been a lot of fun. And over the years, I've learned that she is fearless, and she can basically do anything. She will tackle anything.
No sense, no feeling.
And after this, she lost her father here this past week. She's pretty caring, and the amount of compassion that and all the folks that had an opportunity to come by the funeral home and chat with her, realize what she's all about, and pretty special, and I'm a pretty lucky guy. And
hey, you know what's a good thing? I don't have a thyroid issue or I might be crying.
Well, I do, and I'm trying to hold back the tears. I'm telling you that right now.
Well, if you know my dad, you knew that his work ethic was ridiculous, so he knows that I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, which is doing our job and doing our work.
What was it your dad told the nurse in the ICU unit?
Oh, yes, that's right.
Of course, my father was getting older. He was 88. So they kept checking to see where his mind was. And they would say, who is this beside you? And he would say, well, that's Cheryl. He said, if you ask her what time it is, she will tell you how to build a watch. And there
that's
were never
why
words
we love
spoken
you.
Spoken other than the ones that Henry speaks of me. I told him that I would, when my time comes, I would like to be cremated. We were out by the fire, and you could see how the ash would travel through the air as we were watching the fire. And old Henry says back to Dr. Day, says back to me, yes, and a little of you goes a long way. And that is true as well.
I miss those fireside chats.
Well, we'll have to do one here right soon here at the compound.
Yeah, because there's been some trees that have fallen, so let's burn them up.
Yeah, we got plenty of firewood, so that's not a problem. And it's always wonderful out here in the dark and the sounds of nighttime and the barred owls. And
tomorrow will be a full moon, so it'll be even more fun.
Oh, my Lord, it'll be fantastic. It'll
Hello.
Be great.
Hello.
Yeah. I want to tell everyone that next week on the program, Kiki Ebson, daughter of Buddy Ebson, you know, Jed Clampett.
That is so cool.
Oh, she's coming on. She's got a brand new CD coming out filled with music.
What a voice.
Oh, she's got a fan. She's been on before for a short time, but we're going to give her the whole 90 minutes next week. And she recorded the songs that her father told her she should have recorded years ago, and now she understands why he said that.
That's cool.
Because it's absolutely spectacular. Kiki Ebson. And then the following week from the infamous Indiana band Faith Band, Mark Cawley's going to be with us, and we're going to talk about his new career. Well, it's not new. He's written several hits for artists such as Tina Turner, Joe Cocker. And now he's actually teaching songwriting on the Internet. We're going to talk to him about that, plus play some good music from the Faith Band and some of the artists that he's been affiliated with. And I think for tonight, we're going to finish her out with a one of my favorite songs, I think one of Cheryl's too, and I think kind of puts everything in perspective tonight. It's been a great show. Have a great week, everybody. You've been listening to Blog Talk Radio on Wild World.
There's something happening here. What it is, ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I've got to beware. I think it's time to stop, children. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
This week to Larry Batson's Wild World. Be sure to join us again next week at 10 p.m. for more of the latest outdoor and wildlife news and information, along with great tales from your host, world-renowned wildlife expert, Mr. Larry Batson. Tune in again next week for another exciting edition of Larry Batson's Wild World. Batson's Wild World is a Batson Wildlife Educational Services production in association with Blog Talk Radio.